Hello, I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge, and welcome to your audio insight on how to use your brain more like a genius does from hypnosisdownloads.com. Now, I may be overreaching a little with a title like that, but I think we can learn something about the nature of genius by looking at true geniuses. So in this session, I want to talk about what genius might be, and also how you can behave in ways that encourage ingenious living. So when you think of the word genius, you might think of some supernaturally gifted individual who was born with God-given talents, and certainly talent does seem to be genetic in some people, while others might have to work harder to develop their skills. Talent may be in part genetic and part developmental, but it seems that genius also has to do with not just what brains we have, but how we use the brains we do have. It's been said that we are what we repeatedly do. Maybe you've heard the oft-repeated words attributed to Thomas Edison that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration, and I think there's something in that. We can't just go around being a genius without doing anything, because genius is as much action as it is insight. Genius is as much about what we do as it is about who we are. The Victorian writer Anthony Trollope wrote 47 novels, so he was wonderfully productive. But he didn't just wait around passively, hoping to become a genius. Early on in his writing career, Trollope worked full-time in the post office, and yet he still became one of the most prolific authors of all time. Every morning he would rise at 5 a.m, 3 hours before he had to run the post office, and for those 3 hours he would sit at his desk and write no less than 2,500 words. But here's the thing, if he wrote 1,500 words and that finished the novel, he'd write another 1,000 words at the beginning of the next novel, because he had inflexibly decided that no matter what, he would write 2,500 words every day before going to work. Now this interests me because we don't often think of that kind of inflexibility as being a trait of genius. We might assume that this kind of inflexible work ethic isn't often found in a person who's also incredibly imaginative, and we might be right. But when we do have someone who, as well as being that diligent and controlled, is also capable of great flights of imaginative fancy, intuition, insight and inspiration, then we have someone who's a genius. Genius, it seems, has two sides to it. My friend and colleague Mark Tyrrell used to work with acutely psychotic patients in an institution. Psychosis can be seen as a kind of acute and uncontrolled pure creativity, and sure enough, Mark says that many of his patients had amazing ideas and incredible use of language, metaphor and imagery. But although their flights of fancy were amazing, some of them weren't organized enough to even clean their teeth, let alone bring any structure to their words or ideas. They had, if you like, the creative part of genius, but none of the grounding, like Anthony Trollope's, to channel that pure creativity. Now, at the risk of oversimplifying the way the left and right hemispheres of the brain work, from the work of Dr. Ian McGilchrist as laid out in his amazing book, The Master and His Emissary, we can see inflexible obsession with action as being more the way of the left hemisphere of the brain, with the right hemisphere being much more prone to flights of pure imagination, and not so focused on action and structure. I know a man who's very intelligent, but inflexible and unimaginative. He's as predictable as clockwork, always punctual and reliable. If you ask him a question, he answers in minute detail and is careful not to omit even the smallest detail. He spends hours every week vacuuming his office and home, and I've never known anyone to be as thorough and hard-working in going through their tax returns. But there's no outside-of-the-box thinking, no leaps of imagination or flashes of brilliant insight. Reality to him is concrete and one-dimensional. He can't see the point of humour or art or going for a walk just for enjoyment. I know another man who's all imagination. He's effortlessly funny and comes up with all kinds of incredible ideas and perspectives on life. But he does little with his time. He doesn't work hard. He's disorganized and unproductive and never shows up when he says he will. Now imagine if those two extremes were somehow combined in one person. Mark Tyrrell's father, Ivan Tyrrell, and Joe Griffin suggest in their book Godhead that too much or exclusive use of the right hemisphere might result in untethered psychosis, in which pure creativity is totally unmoored to concrete reality. On the other end of the spectrum, too much left hemispheric dominance may result in inflexibility and obsession with ritual, the sort of traits we might see in an autistic person. But when extreme creativity is balanced by action and a grounding in reality, then we have extremely productive creativity, what we call genius. All creative geniuses perhaps have this double aspect to them. They are, of course, extremely flexible and creative, but they're also highly disciplined and action-oriented. Perhaps, compared to most people, they're at the extreme in their use of the left and right sides of their brain, but in balance. Another creative genius, Charles Dickens, had, as we all know, an immensely powerful imaginative life. He related how he would sit by the fireside dozing and have visionary experiences in which he would actually see and speak with characters that he was developing for his latest novel. Yet he was also extremely efficient at bookkeeping and organising and, like Anthony Trollope, prolific in his productive output. Had Dickens just dozed by the fire, having these hypnagogic experiences, then certainly he could rightfully have been said to be creative, and perhaps we might have called him very right-brained, but he was also able to be very left-brained and work in a really organised way. He carved a path along which he could bring the creations of his right brain out through the organisation of his left brain. So being creative isn't what genius is all about. Because unproductive psychosis or daydreaming can be incredibly creative, and being rigid and concrete and concerned purely with function isn't what genius is about either, because it negates the fluid workings of the immense imagination. But these two aspects combined is, I think, the formula for genius. The capacity to let go of all moorings, if you like, and sail to the far reaches of our imagination, but then tether ourselves down again and bring the jewels we've discovered within ourselves out into the everyday world, that's a closer approximation of what genius is about. So how do we take ourselves closer to, if you like, more ingenious lives? Well, I think we need to develop and cultivate both sides of the brain. Creativity is linked to the hypnotic trance state, in which focus is turned inward and the imagination is activated in a controlled way. When we practitioners use hypnosis directly with clients and within our audio sessions, we help people use and develop the imagination, but we also encourage action in the real world. Aim to develop, at least to some degree, inflexible and concrete traits as far as productivity is concerned, but also aim to develop the part of yourself that can fly into the higher realms of fantasy and imagination so that you can find the treasures worth bringing back through organized work. Self-hypnosis is a great way to start to delve deeper into your own imagination and develop the right side of the brain. Take time to relax and just absorb reality, rather than always trying to act upon it. But when it is time to act, whether that be from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. as it was with Trollope, or whenever works for you, then really act. We can learn from both the imaginative, creative yet unproductive types and the rigid, action-oriented yet uninspired types. And we can aim to combine the two within ourselves harmoniously as, it seems, all creative geniuses, at least while they're fulfilling their genius in the world, are able to do. We tend to think of a creative genius as someone who just has amazing insights or makes giant creative leaps, but as Anthony Trollope himself said, a small daily task, if it be really daily, will beat the labours of a spasmodic Hercules. So, I hope you found this interesting and useful, and to listen to other audio insights, you can join the Hypnosis Downloads members section, The Growth Zone. Members get access to all the sessions on the site, plus exclusive members-only downloads. To find out more, just go to hypnosisdownloads.com and click on the Join Us link. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge. Thank you for listening to this audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com, and have a good day.